Our epistle lesson this morning may sound a little familiar to you. If it does, yes, you are hearing double. This was the epistle lesson that was read last week as well, when Pam Grace preached. So, we do believe that God speaks through Scripture, that it is living and dynamic. So listen with new ears to what God says this morning. From Romans chapter 6, we hear, "Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, who were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's summer. You may have noticed that school's out, the weather is hot, and vacation season is in full swing. I'm myself just coming back from vacation last week, spending time with family and friends, celebrating my youngest brother's wedding. Vacations are things that happen to give us a break from the everyday grind. They help give us a fresh perspective and sometimes a necessary attitude adjustment. Vacations are often those things that we look forward to. They're a glimmer of promise and hope, a beacon that helps us mark time until it arrives. Vacations also signal a change of pace, usually either on the one hand packed with adventure, fun, and excitement, or on the other hand, a relaxing time to unwind and breathe. Depending on how it's being used, vacation can mean a few different things. It's a period of recreation, or maybe it's time spent away from home. Traveling, a break, time off, leave, sabbatical, a trip, a tour, and a holiday. All forms of vacation. This month we're going to talk about vacations you need to take, particularly as they apply to our spiritual lives. Our minds are often preoccupied with dreaming up and planning our next vacation, but we rarely spend much brain power thinking about vacations in our spiritual lives. Such vacations, though, can help recenter and refocus our relationship with God, and they're necessary for our spiritual health. We tend to develop bad habits or get stuck in ruts in our spiritual lives. So taking a vacation can help to remove some of those significant obstacles and help us renew our spiritual lives and bring a new sense of vitality to our relationship with God. This first week of July, we're going to be challenged to take a vacation from sin. Now you might be thinking, well, Pastor, that's sort of funny because I thought we were already supposed to be trying not to sin as Christians. And you would be right. As we mature in our Christian walk, we are supposed to be growing closer to God and becoming more able to abstain from sinning. And I truly believe that we are well-intentioned disciples and that we do desire not to sin. But I also know myself and suspect some of you may be similarly inclined and we slip up from time to time, and maybe even willfully and knowingly sin. You see, that's the sort of sin that we're going to be taking a vacation from. The willingly, knowingly sinning sorts of behaviors that we take on. Maybe it's overcompensating or underperforming. Maybe it's overindulging in food or drink, or maybe it's sitting around with our feet up a little longer than we should, or indulging in gossiping, or giving in to greed and anger, prioritizing things over God and other people. Maybe it's failing to be compassionate or just. Maybe it's selfishness. You see, we sin both by commission, that's doing, and by omission, that's not doing. Have you ever fallen into the trap of assuming that since God has to forgive our sins, it's okay to intentionally sin from time to time? Certainly, God is gracious and grace-filled, extending grace and mercy to us in our sinful state. But it's not pleasing to God that we sin. In the Bible, we learn that sin is that which separates us from God. Sin places a barrier, an obstacle between God and us. And while God's grace can certainly overcome and break down that barrier, it's to our own detriment that we create the barrier in the first place. Why create harm, intentionally damage our relationship with God? That's where Paul picks up this morning in Romans chapter 6, writing, "Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it?" Paul further reasons, "We know that our old self was crucified with Jesus so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." He admonishes the Romans even further, saying, "You must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Paul reminds the Romans and us today that we are to leave sin to the life we had before we became Christians. Having been reborn by water and the Spirit in baptism, we have already entered into new life, the everlasting life with God, which starts here and now. So it's time for vacation. It's time to leave behind the trappings of sin to seek out a change of pace with God. Now, that change of pace might be a thrilling adventure you take with God, or maybe it will be a time of relaxing and unwinding. Our sin motivates us in two different ways. Sometimes it motivates us to be lazy, to sit back and to be slothful, in which case sometimes we need to go on an adventure with God. But our sin can also motivate us to work so hard that we don't know if we're coming or going. And so sometimes we need to be able to relax and unwind, trusting God. So let's take a vacation from sin. Let's let it go, leave it behind, step away from it, and commit to trusting God, who is sufficient, enough, and will sustain us. Some of the best vacations I have ever taken were those that weren't tightly scheduled. And I think such is the case with our vacation from sin. Do your best to abstain from willfully and knowingly sinning, but also know that God's grace is sufficient. When you mess up, when there's a bump in the road between you and God, know that Christ, whose grace is abounding, forgives our sin. However, grace is not a convenient excuse to be relied upon at the judgment throne on the day of reckoning. Grace is a gift offered to us by God, free without price. Grace is not a get-out-of-jail-free card that you get to stick in your back pocket just in case. So let's go on a vacation together, a vacation from sin. Let's change our behavior and accept God's change of pace in our lives. And as we begin this vacation, we do so here at the Lord's table, receiving once more God's grace and forgiveness, being reconciled and recommitting ourselves to the walk of faith. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we prepare to come to the table this morning, we do so remembering who we are and to whom we belong. We hear in Scripture today that we belong to God, for we have been given new life in Christ.